everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel that aims to disseminate science and research to the community. My name is Nicole, an undergraduate student at the University of Ottawa, and I'll be your host on today's episode. Joining us is Dr. Rashmi Kothari, Deputy Scientific Director and Senior Scientist at the Ottawa Hospital Research Institute. Dr. Kothari's research group focuses on understanding the mechanisms that underlie muscle and nervous system integrity. Their primary objective is to explore strategies aimed at alleviating diseases that affect the muscles and the nerves, such as spinal muscular atrophy and multiple sclerosis. Today, Dr. Kothari joins us to share one aspect of his research, exploring the potential use of a type of gene therapy known as base editing to permanently cure spinal muscular atrophy. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kothari.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Thank you for the invitation. And I look forward to chatting with you a little bit about our work on spinal muscular atrophy.
We're really grateful to have you on our channel today. So to begin our interview, your lab has studied spinal muscular atrophy extensively, even developing a new mouse model of mild form of spinal muscular atrophy. For those who may not know, what is spinal muscular atrophy?
Yeah, that's a great question. What is spinal muscular atrophy, or sometimes abbreviated SMA? Spinal muscular atrophy is a children's motor neuron disease. In a bare bones, that's what it is. It's a genetic disease. So there's a gene responsible for the disease, and mutations or deletions in this gene. And the gene is called SMN, or survival motor neuron. It produces a protein that's actually surprisingly needed for every cell type in our body. So it's not a neuronal protein or very specific tissue specific protein, but very general housekeeping function for this protein. When mutated or deleted in the human context, what you end up with is very early onset motor neuron disease. And this is a very devastating occurrence in children. And severe forms of the disease, we see onsets very soon after birth, a few days to weeks after birth. And in the severe form of the disease, does succumb very, very soon, within the 2 years of life. So it's very devastating. It's caused by, as I mentioned, it's the loss of motor neurons. And motor neurons in our body do many things. The large motor neurons start in the spinal cord, and they send a process all the way to our various muscles, our limb muscles, you know, our trunk muscles, head muscles. So these motor neurons stimulate the muscles, and that keep them active. And when these motor neurons become degenerative, you lose those connections, you lose the stimulation of the muscles, the muscles become inactive. And when muscles are inactive, they become atrophied or they reduce in size. And what you end up with in this case is spinal muscular atrophy that resulted from the motor neuron disease. So the advantage and disadvantage in the human case is that we have two of these genes, SMN1 and SMN2. SMN1 is the primary gene that when mutations occur, we get SMA. SMN2 is a very near identical copy of SMN1. The difference is that it produces very little good protein, about 15%, compared to SMN1. And when that happens, you have reduction in the good amount of SMN protein when the first one's mutated, and that gets us through our gestation and development, and then babies are born. But soon after, this low level of protein cannot sustain life, and that's why we get all of these problems in humans. And that's why we get SMA. It's because we have the second gene that allows birth to occur, and then we see the manifestation of the disease in the newborns. So hopefully that gives you an insight as to what spinal muscular atrophy is.
Yeah, certainly. And thank you so much for sharing. And it really shows how like little changes on the genetic level can definitely lead to very devastating diseases like SMA. So currently, there have been major advances in therapeutics for SMA, such as the development of Zolgensma. However, why are scientists exploring base editing as another treatment?
Yeah, great question again. So we've been really fortunate in my field in spinal muscular atrophy that we actually have not one, not two, but three treatments for the children with spinal muscular atrophy. So Zolgensma is one that was one of the first ones approved. It's a gene therapy. Gene therapy meaning, in this case, introducing a good copy of the SMN1 gene, a good copy to make good protein. And that's usually delivered early in life through systemic administration. And so for all intents and purposes, it has been very, very effective. The second one is called nusinersen. It's an antisense oligonucleotide. It's a little bit different. It's a form of gene therapy, if you will, because now we're targeting the correction of the second gene I mentioned. Remember, the second that doesn't make high amounts of the good protein? Well, this treatment converts that second gene or tricks it to think that it's like the first gene. And now it starts to increase production of the good protein. And then the third treatment is a similar strategy with a small molecule to enhance production from the second gene to levels where they'll be therapeutically beneficial. Now, having said that, having all these therapies in hand, yes, we've had improvements in quality of life and even in the life, the survival has increased. Some endpoints have been reached that were never before reached. But nevertheless, these are treatments. They're not cures. Okay, we don't have a complete restoration of normal life in these children. They're still have some indicators of disease, neurological deficits. So we do need more treatments. And the one thing about developing base editing is targeting the correction of a mutation to make it more normal. And so this would be a permanent fix. It's really using what I call molecular scissors to go into very specific areas of our genome. In this case, it would be the second SMN2 as a second gene, and fix a genetic change permanently so it's now more like SMN1, and now it'll produce full amounts of protein all the time, right, without any further treatments necessary. So that's what base editing is, and developing such approaches would perhaps give us that permanent cure that we currently lack for SMA.
Your group currently has been studying a base editing system for SMA in collaboration with a team from Harvard University. Can you share with us more about your molecular scissors analogy for base editing, as well as some of your major findings?
Sure. So this comes from really a strong collaboration with an international group. And that's one thing about science and research is that we don't work in isolation. We don't, we're not, getting our lab coats in our little labs and, hidden away from everybody else. The current way science works is through international collaboration, networking, and that's been fantastic for this field. The pace of development, the growth is largely due to this open, transparent, there are no borders in science, which is really something, a message that I think is important to give to our listeners. And what comes out of that is opportunities to work with really international experts in various fields and bring them all together. So in this case, we had that opportunity with Dr. Ben Kleinsteiber at Harvard, who happens to be Canadian. His research lab is in Boston, and his senior postdoctoral fellow, now independent scientist, Cristiano Alves. With Chris and Ben, they've been working on base editing for a number of uses, not just spinal muscular atrophy. So that laboratory is an expert in this area. And we hooked up, so to speak, to work on spinal muscular atrophy because of our expertise in SMA and in the mouse models that we have. We can characterize them, we can treat them, we can monitor them see the effect, et cetera. So the combination of working with this team has been really powerful. We've been working for about 2 years. And in our study soon to be published, we show that a particular base editing construct, if you will, it's a combination of using what the scissors are really enzymes. They're really enzymes that can go in and target the specific sites. And the specificity is given by the kind of small oligonucleotide that you use to the target that you'd like the scissors to go to. And so with the scissors, with this little target and a couple of other goodies, you can now get them into cells, go into the specific in the whole genome, identify that one spot, go in and fix that one nucleotide difference. So, and we have 3 billion nucleotides in our genome, and we're targeting one nucleotide. Can you imagine the specificity? So it's just mind-boggling when you think about it, but it works. And in cells and in patient cells, we show that we can fix that one nucleotide in the second gene, that it's now behaving more like the first gene and making more SMN protein. So with that knowledge, we decided, well, we should try it as a proof of principle in our mouse model to see, can we do the same thing in our mouse model? Can we introduce this collection of little tools, our molecular toolkit, put it into the mice, and then analyze the various tissues to see if it can do the job? And the good news is, it does. Our injection of the tools, which are actually delivered by a virus into the central nervous system on first day after birth, and then in the mice, and then we follow the mice over a few days because we know exactly what kind of disease trajectory that we normally would get. So now we ask the question, how is this changed when we introduce these therapeutic interventions? And in the proof of principle experiment, we just did a short-term experiment to look at molecular correction. Do we get molecular correction of this base, single base, and can we edit it to the correct sequence? And our analysis shows that we get high efficiency in not only in the central nervous system tissues, but also in some of the peripheral organs. We looked at liver, we looked at muscle and other peripheral organs, because it's also important to target other cell types in our body, not just the central nervous system. And we showed that we get high level of efficiency in correction of the space. So with all this excitement, we're now, asking ourselves, can this be actually a cure for using mice? And those are the next steps for us to perform the studies to look at therapeutic benefits as opposed to molecular correction.
Wow, I see. Thank you so much for sharing. That sounds like an amazing, using a toolbox kit and using base editing. It's very precise to correct one single oligonucleotide, as you mentioned. And we'll definitely keep an eye out for your future research on that. However, what are the current challenges when using base editing as a new gene therapy?
Yeah, no, again, a really great question, because, these are new techniques and new manipulations of our genomes, if you will. And when we are introducing these molecular scissors to specific sites in our genome, our intention is that it only goes to that one site and not to the neighboring site or to another gene and another chromosome. So the specificity has to be really critical. We have to be sure that there are no what we call off-target effects, no changes in other locations, because you don't want to have scissors going crazy, when cutting up your genome in other places that might actually lead to even worse things than what you're trying to fix. So that's one of the biggest challenges. Fortunately, with what we call guide RNA, so the guides are the little targeting units that are very specific for the region of interest. So your guide RNAs are developed. That's what we did in our study with Cristiano. They developed many different guide RNAs and tested all those in culture systems. to identify those that showed the best specificity and essentially no off-target effects. So, but those are challenges that we have to be quite aware of. Whenever you go into genome manipulation in the human context, that's one. That's a hurdle that has to be overcome, right? So that's one of the challenges. Then the other challenge, of course, is you want to introduce this change as early as you can. In this case, spinal muscular atrophy is a very early onset disease. Some would say it's even a developmental disease. So can we introduce the change or the correction very early after birth or even before birth? And so those are other challenges that we're also have to face and work on in the next couple of years.
I see. Thank you so much, Dr. Kothari, for giving us more of an understanding of spinal muscular atrophy as well as base editing as a new type of gene therapy. We really appreciate your time.
I enjoyed sharing ideas with you, Nicole, and thank you for inviting us to do this.
And thank you so much for our Beats Research Radio listeners as well for your time and for tuning in today. On behalf of our entire radio team and our director, Dr. Emilio Alarcon, we wish you all good health and we hope to see you next time. Thank you.